Hello again, this is Louis Patron bringing you Tuesday Talk with Key West
Love
Louis.
Talk Radio.
This evening. Every week at the start of the show, and every Friday when I do my television show, I always say at the beginning, this has been a crazy week because stupid, crazy, foolish things happen in this world, which I share with you and like to discuss. This past week, though, something happened that I never could conceive would occur, never thought it would happen, didn't even have the slightest speculation might occur, and hold. Oh, shit. Hello? I understand I'm not going through. The show is not being recorded, being sent out. All you people who look, read it, it will be archived, but it's not going out normally, so I'm going to complete the show. Only the people listening this evening will not be able to hear it. It's my fault. I'm doing something wrong 2 weeks in a row. I don't know what it is, but it will be picked up and archived and be available all week to you who listen that way, and since that's most of my listeners, let me continue. Big week. Did not think what occurred would occur. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Cyprus and the bank situation. I am talking again about Cyprus and the bank situation. Let's start this way. In 2008, the bankers and the government of the United States, the government really was the one, said, banks are too big to fail. You recall the mortgage crisis was beginning. The banks were in terrible shape. They were going to go under. The government had to bail them out. The banks, though, didn't bail their depositors and their customers out. They didn't loan any of the money. They kept it amongst themselves, invested it, made big profits, ended up paying the money back to the United States, ended up with CEOs getting 10, 20, 30, $40 million a year bonuses. No exaggeration. So the banks were too big to fail. Now comes this past year, the past month, in fact, the government of the United States said that banks were too big to prosecute. That means charge them with a crime, try them, and put them in jail if they do something wrong. And you recall the situation. HSBC is a British bank. It has many, many branches in the United States. Big worldwide bank. The United States branches of HSBC were money laundering, primarily drug cartel money from Mexico and Colombia, to the tune of $200 trillion. Would you believe? $200 trillion. That's like, I don't know, 15 times our national debt. The bank made an average monthly profit of $1.9 billion. Can you imagine a month profit? $1.9 billion for doing this for the drug lords. They got caught. Big investigation. The United States said this past month that the bank was too big to prosecute. It would cause problems economically, nationally and internationally. There would be economic repercussions to the entire banking industry. They were not going to prosecute. However, HSBC entered into some sort of a deferred prosecution agreement, which in effect is a civil resolution of things, not criminal, and said, we're sorry, we know we did wrong, we promised never to sin again, and we will pay $1.9 million to you. And they walked away. They made more. They made $1.9 billion a month on an average for years. So now, first too big to fail, then too big to prosecute. Now, this emboldens people. When a person or a company can get away with something, it emboldens them to go even further and do something worse. What am I talking about now? I'm talking about the Euro Union. I'm talking about Europe, I'm talking about Greece, I'm talking about Cyprus, I'm talking about Portugal, I'm talking about Spain, Slovenia, a country we never heard of, and Cyprus. These countries are all in trouble. They all borrowed money from the Euro Union years ago when the Euro Union was formed, and they were able to borrow the money easily, just like people got mortgage money easily because the banks knew they were going to make money on it. The Euro Union knew they were going to make big interest payments. But the payments were too big. These countries could not handle it, and they can't pay back, and they need plans to help them. They have to defer their payments. They have to pay it off in the next 10 years. They need 20 or 30, just the way it is. They haven't got that kind of money. They've gone into austerity programs. They're in trouble big time. I didn't come to appreciate the situation until the 5 weeks I spent in Greece last summer when I was with Greek people in five different places, Athens and four different islands, and I was interested in this stuff, and I talked to these people, and I got their side of the story. I walked through three different demonstrations in front of Parliament in Athens where there were 3,000 to 5,000 people yelling and screaming. By the way, everyone hates Germany. People would spit on the ground when Mrs. Merkel's name, she is the Prime Minister of Germany, was mentioned at these Greek demonstrations in Athens. They just don't like her. They don't like the German people. The German people are squeezing them so hard. These people don't have money to live. Half their businesses at that time were closed. People did not have enough money for food. There was a demonstration about 1 month ago where farmers throughout Greece who grew fruits and vegetables refused to sell them to the corporate stores, the big corporate giants, because they couldn't get enough money for it. It was costing them more to grow. So they couldn't get that much money for selling them, so they went to Athens and gave all the food away free. And there were riots, people fighting to get the food, and it was a shame, because all they wanted to do was put a meal on the table for their families. Okay, let's get to Cyprus now. Cyprus is in trouble, one of the little countries in trouble. The Euro Union said, you got to pay us. Cyprus says, we can't pay you. So the bank came up with this idea last week. This was quick. This happened so quick, I can't believe it. They said, because Cyprus needed bailout money of about $13.5 billion in American dollars, $13.5 billion, they said, look, you've got to come up with $7.5 billion on your own if we're going to do this deal, and we'll put the rest in and help you with the bailout. And the way you're going to get the money, this is the Euro Union. This is, you know, the people who are running the Euro Bank, the European Central Bank, saying to little Cyprus, you're going to have to take the money out of the deposits and savings accounts in your banks, okay? You're going to have to take the money out to the tune of 3% of people who have less than 100,000 euro. For those who have more than 100,000 euro, you're going to have to take out 9%. Did you ever hear of anything like this where people force you to take money out of your own citizens' bank accounts and there's nothing your people can do about it? Well, it had to be approved by the Cypriot Parliament. They had two different deals. Both were voted down. No one voted for it. They would have killed them. They would have hung the members of their legislature. Everyone voted no. They came up with a third plan. They are only going now to take money out of the accounts of those that have more than 100,000 euros. They're going to take 40% of the money out. Anyone who's got more than 100,000 euros like that, snap of a finger, are going to lose 40% from their bank account. So Cyprus can put the money together, and then the European Union will give them more money, and it'll save the assets of Cyprus probably for another 6 to 12 months. This time, the deal is not subject to the approval of the Cypriot Parliament. They said, we're not going to do it that way because they won't vote for it. We're just going to do it. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen. Right now, it's a fait accompli, and the news reports, the media suggest it is going to happen. I got a feeling it may not. I just think you're inviting rebellion. You're inviting all kinds of things. You know, to come and put your hand in my pocket and take money out of it is stealing, in effect. To take money out of my personal savings account, my personal checking account, without my permission or authority, only the authority of the prime minister of my country, I don't think that's right. I equate that to something like someone raping a five-year-old girl. It's that bad. You cannot take people's money out of their savings account from their checking account in a bank. But it's on its way to being done in Cyprus, maybe done, I don't know. We're going to know in the next few days. In the meantime, all the banks in Cyprus have been closed since last Monday, a week ago yesterday, and they're not slated to open until this Thursday if they open then. Why do they close the banks? Because they know the Cypriot people are going to say, hey, you're going to steal my money. I'm going to take my money out of the bank. Well, in order to stop them from taking the money out of the bank, they close the banks down. The only place people can get money, and they don't understand this, is through the ATM machine. And they're limited to 500 euros a day. And so everyone's out there grabbing 500 euros a day. Okay, now, if it happens in one place, my friends, it's going to happen in other places. I believe that if the Euro nation, some 17 nations, their hierarchy, their Euro bank gets away with this, with Cyprus, the next step may be Italy and maybe Greece, one of the other countries, because now the precedent is set. And once it happens in Europe like that, it's not a long trip to cross the Atlantic and come to the United States. Banks are whores today, and they're thieves to a large extent. Bankers were different 20, 30 years ago. They looked out for the interests, not only of their bank, but of their depositors. Banks don't care about you and me today. All they want is to make money on your checking account and charge you $45 for an overdraft. They charge you for everything. You're lucky that we're lucky. They don't charge us for the air we breathe when we go into their bank. Anyhow, it can happen here. If it happens once, it can happen anywhere in the world. And banks like precedents like this. And how do I know it's going to happen? Well, I know it's going to happen in Europe. If it goes through in Cyprus, it's going to happen somewhere else in Europe because the chairman of the Euro Union is a Dutch person. I don't recall his name. But he said today, this Dutch chairman, and I'm quoting, savings accounts of all members being in any country, are liable to be raided in order to preserve the Euro. We cannot break it down. The Euro Union, the Euro nation, can invade the bank accounts of any member country, their citizens, their depositors, their savings accounts, their checking accounts, if it's necessary to preserve the Euro. The Euro in Europe is equivalent to our dollar. It's a comparable thing, not in value. And they got to preserve the Euro. The whole economy of Europe goes down the tubes. Now, behind all this stuff is Germany. Because Germany is the one who gave the most money to the Euro Union to loan to all these countries. Now Germany wants to get paid back. And I can understand they're wanting to get paid back. The money is so big that if they don't get that money back, Germany's going to go under. Okay? So, and it was said this week that there were representatives of Germany at all these meetings at Cyprus and these meetings wherever they took place in Europe or the Euro Union, pushing this whole thing to take the depository accounts in the Cyprus bank. Now, bankers have not always been well-liked. I mean, you can go back to the Bible. The Bible, Christ, threw the money lenders out of the temple. Shakespeare, remember Shylock, right? Now, let's look. Has this ever happened before in history? I had to think a bit, and I had to dig a bit. Well, I found it happened three times. There is a precedent, but we never heard of it really. But we know about one of them, the first one. And this involves Germany. The Germany of today is trying to screw the other European nations who owe money. They will not make a better deal for the people to pay the money back. They're squeezing them. The Germany of the 1930s, Nazi Germany, do you remember what they did? They seized all the property, including the bank accounts of the Jewish people. This happened in the 1930s. The Nazi government went in, and they took the money of any Jewish depositors out of the bank. It's happened recently, too. It happened in Italy in 1992. For some reason, the lire, that was the equivalent to our dollar then, it's now called the euro in Italy, the lawyer was in trouble. And the government, without telling anybody, went in and took 15% of everybody's bank account, their deposit. And that was it. They never did it again, but probably the Italian people would have risen up and hung whoever was president the next time it was done, as they hung Mussolini. Then in Iceland, I wasn't aware of this, excuse me, this happened again in Iceland in 2008. They were in trouble, Iceland. They needed money desperately. They did it smart, though, the government of Iceland. They grabbed bank deposits. They grabbed savings and checking accounts and all that sort of thing. But they only did it of two foreign governments. They did not touch their own people's money. There were a lot of British and Dutch accounts in Iceland. Don't ask me why, but there were a ton of British and Dutch accounts. They grabbed the percentage of all deposits of the British and Dutch accounts. It came to about $5 billion, as I recall, about $5 million. England and Holland got involved because their people were going crazy. And eventually England and Holland threw in some money, so the people, the British and English depositors, didn't lose as much as originally thought. But it happened there too. Okay, now, why is this happening? Well, they own money. We understand that. This is a terrible thing. I mean, this is absolutely awful. This is like someone breaking into your house in the middle of the night and raping your wife or your daughter. Absolutely terrible. I equate it to that. The Russians are big in the banks in Cyprus. Many Russian businessmen keep their money in Cypriot banks. Why? Because the taxes on income in Cypriot banks is cheaper than Russia. Russia charges their corporations 20% in taxes. Cyprus only 10%. So it's a good deal for the Russians to put their money there. And the Russian government, their IRS, has a rule that says it's okay if you deposit your money offshore, so to speak, in another bank, as long as you pay the percentage of tax in that country, we'll settle for that. These Russian companies, most of them, do not even have a factory or an office in Cyprus. They merely deposit their money there. That's how it works. So Russia has a big interest. Russia is very irritated that this has occurred. What else may be behind this? Little Cyprus is on the verge of being a very wealthy country. It won't be today. It won't be tomorrow. In 5, 10, 15 years, they're going to be rich. Gas and oil deposits are a problem in Europe. Russia has a lot of gas deposits. But Italy, for example, you know where they import most of their gasoline from? They import it from Algeria in North Africa. There ain't many or much gas deposits in Europe itself. Cyprus. The waters off Cyprus are loaded underneath with natural gas. The natural gas deposits that have been discovered are huge. However, they have not been developed yet. They've been recently discovered, and it's going to take years to develop them. At that point, Cyprus is going to be rich. There is some thought given that some countries would like to take Cyprus over for those natural gas deposits, one being Russia. Okay, so it's a terrible thing. It should not occur. I think all the stuff that's happened in Cyprus that could happen, it's going to happen again in Europe if it goes through, and then will happen here, is that the banks are greedy. Banks are greedy. You can't argue that point with me. They are greedy. They charge for everything. They're a business to make money, but they'll screw you to the wall if they can. They don't care. Also, it's happening because of the natural gas deposit. Somebody wants to control the natural gas flow that's going to come out of those offshore waters. I'm not the first one, and I won't be the last one, that's going to criticize what has been occurring in Cyprus. I'm not going to be the first one or the last one to criticize banks. Christ did it when he threw the money lenders out of the temple. Shakespeare with Shylock. For years, leaders of various countries have complained. Let me tell you what some of them have said. Thomas Jefferson. We all respect Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said about banks, and I quote, If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless. Aren't they controlling our currency with inflation, deflation? It's all planned. It's all organized. And eventually everyone could lose their property. He also said, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. This is back in 1780. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Then came John Adams. Remember John Adams? He was our second or third, I think our second president. He said, banks have done more injury to religion, morality, tranquility, prosperity, and even wealth of the nation than they have done or ever will do good. The final quote I'm going to give you is by a fellow called Lord Action. He said it best because this is where we may be going. Quote, the issue which has swept down the centuries, I repeat that, the issue which has swept down the centuries and which will have to be fought, which will have to be fought sooner or later is the people versus the banks. I repeat, the people versus the banks. Now, I came back from Greece last summer, and I also spent a couple of weeks in Italy, and I saw what was happening in these two countries. And I said this on the television and internet show. I wrote a major article on this, major for my column in Conk Life, which I also published on Amazon Kindle. And I said, with the way Germany is pressing to get some money back and really won't make a deal for a long payment, which would resolve all this there, you could have another war. Don't think that the next war, if there is one, and there probably will be because we always have wars, is going to start in the Middle East. It could start in Europe. Germany started World War I. Germany started World War II. They could very well start World War III, this time because of their economic policies. What more can I tell you? That's my position. I know you can't call in this week, unfortunately. I know this. The 2,000 people are going to listen to the show via the archive, which is run several times a day for the next week, because I get statistical numbers on this, which is much less than those of you who listen when I'm doing it live. I apologize to those who could not hear live. I had this problem last week. It's Lewis, and I'm not handling the machinery correctly. I'm going to have somebody in here sitting with me next week so I do it properly. But let me move on. Let's talk about same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage was argued today whether it's constitutional in the before the United States Supreme Court. Today and tomorrow, there are two cases being argued on the issue. Today was Proposition 8 and California. I said a year ago on my, 2 years ago I said, on my internet show, I said I doubted that it would be found constitutional. I did not think the Supreme Court would go for gay marriage. And the reason is we have a conservative Supreme Court. Our courts have changed. Just like our Congress has changed, people used to go across the aisle and talk to each other years ago. They were friends. They'd play poker at night, drink together, fight during the day, but they knew how to deal, how to negotiate, how to compromise and come to a decision. When men became justices of the Supreme Court, they were put on that court because they were great legal minds, not because they were conservative or they were liberal or they were the middle of the road. They were just great legal minds, and you never knew how they were going to be when they got on the court. One of the most liberal appointees, and this was back in Eisenhower's time, President Eisenhower put Governor Warren of California, who was his major opponent to the Republican nomination, made him Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Warren was the most conservative man in America, was a prosecutor all his life, turned out to be one of the great liberal justices of the United States Supreme Court. He's the reason we had Miranda rights today. It was his baby. and it was his decision. You don't know. Now, we have a court that's been basically divided 5-4. Four conservatives, four liberals. Kennedy generally is the one who decides who's going to win, and his vote generally goes to the conservative side. I said it won't work because I think Kennedy's going to go with the conservatives. It's going to be a 5-4 vote, and same-sex marriage will be illegal throughout the United States, except maybe in California. I changed my mind recently, and I saw this could come out 6-3 in favor of same-sex marriage. So where did I get the vote? Well, you have the four liberal votes. Then you get Kennedy, because Kennedy sometimes sees things right when it comes to conservative and liberal. He's motivated by his heart more than his brain, and that makes you a bit of a liberal. And I thought also that Chief Judge Roberts might be a swing vote and go with the liberal side. If it were not for Roberts' vote, Obamacare would not have survived the constitutional attack a few months ago. I was shocked, the whole country was shocked, that the Chief Justice voted in favor of Obamacare. He's got a relative who's gay, a nephew or something, or a cousin. I think, this is Lewis's thinking, my thought is that the man has this big job, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. He does not want to be known in history as a conservative, always voted conservative and nothing could get through. I think he wants to be known, his history to be that he was a fair man and called him as he saw it, and that he developed well on the bench as a judge should. His thinking evolved, and sometimes he could see the liberal side of things. That's why he voted for Obamacare, and that's why perhaps he might vote for same-sex marriage. Tonight, I don't know. I read the reports on the internet. I listened to the commentators who are in the courtroom on TV. You can't tell on the questioning how it's going to go. But it seemed to indicate that Roberts was going the conservative way and Kennedy, don't know, leaning the conservative way. We won't know till June. It will be an absolute disgrace if same-sex marriage is not found constitutional throughout the United States. I think the decision is as important as the decision, the United States Supreme Court decision that overthrew the Dred Scott decision, which said blacks were slaves. I think it's as important as Brown versus the school district, as important as Roe versus Wade, as important as the vote, as the case that gave women the right to vote in this country. And if it doesn't happen now, it'll happen in the next 5 years. But we're going to look like a bunch of asses if it doesn't happen now, especially since some 50% of Americans now favor it. They've moved fast, whether you favor or disfavor same-sex marriage. So we shall see, and we'll talk about this again in June. One thing I want to tell you about what happened today in the United States Supreme Court, something I was never aware of, and I am a retired lawyer. I practiced almost 50 years. I read today in the Key West Citizen, there was an article, big article. Do you know what the seats are going for? The Supreme Court chambers to sit and listen to oral argument on this case today? $6,000 apiece. People are scalping their tickets. They get a ticket to go for free, all right? And then they turn around and they sell it. And it's just like you want to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I've done it. I've gone to a Super Bowl without a ticket, paid $3,000 on the street for a ticket the morning of the game. The ticket wasn't worth $3,000. And that is what is now occurring in our United States Supreme Court. People are scalping tickets. It should be illegal. People should be arrested for doing that. But again, this is something I guess we tolerate because that's the way our country has become. Everybody wants to make a buck. Everybody's looking to make the killing. And now you're making it by selling a ticket you got for nothing to someone who wants to sit and hear this argument, which is a big deal. $6,000 to hear justice. That's what it costs today in the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. That's the show for tonight. I apologize that the people who listen live didn't hear me again. It's Lewis and Epness. I'm glad those of you who listen on the archive are. And all I can say to you is, if you enjoyed the show tonight, come back next week. I enjoy doing this, and I enjoy speaking with you. Have a good evening.